Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 2:25 p.m. and that is Central Time. Today is August 25th. I thought we'd kick off with high yield spreads because it looks increasingly likely that the low is in. So we've had a meaningful jump in the yield from the low, and that low tested the nadir back in 2014. So this is about as tight as high yield spreads tend to get. And we can look at even more back history, and we don't have a lot of evidence to suggest that they that yields, or excuse me, spreads fall below the 240 basis point level. But it's not above 5%. So it's generally speaking when the high yield spread is trending through the 500 basis point level, that's when the stock market really starts to take fright. But it does look like the low is in, and then now the question is, how long is it going to be before it can push back above the trend mean? So it's something to pay attention to, because the rollicking good time that the high yield market has enjoyed over the course of the last 15 months is probably coming to an end. And I think it's important then to also contrast that with the increasing evidence that we have a new uptrend in the 10-year treasury. I think the most important thing here is that we had this beautiful, consistent downtrend with one range below another and each of the ranges being relatively similar sized, and that ended in about 2 weeks ago. So now it's broken the sequence of lower rally highs, and we have a higher reaction low. And that is the basic condition for a new bull market. So if it's a bull market for yields, well, it's a bear market for price. And when we then think about this in terms of the bigger picture, well, it's support also in the region of the 200-day moving average. And then we can also think about this resistance that we saw back at the end of March and beginning of April, also representing some resistance in the region of the lower side of this overhead range that persisted for 7 years. So it was perhaps natural to anticipate that we might get a bit of a rally in prices and a contraction in yields as investors really started to sift through the arguments about whether inflationary pressures would be persistent or not, and then also about just how eager politicians would be to continue to borrow and spend. Well, I think as we come towards the latter portion of the year, some of those factors are coming into are becoming clearer. So whatever inflationary being transitory means, we'd certainly have inflationary pressures now, and those are likely to persist for a while longer. And I think that's one of the more important points, that they might turn out to be transitory, but it might take a couple of years before the growth rate in inflation moderates significantly. But the most important thing is that most of the inflationary measures that people tend to look at tend to be year over year. So the year over year comparisons are going to start getting better in the not so distant future. And by the time we get around to the middle of 2022, well, then the year over year comparisons are probably going to start looking like deflation. Because if inflation was up 10% this year, well, it might only be up 6% next year. And that would be 4% less than this year. So year over year, it would be deflation. And of course, this just highlights just how much of a nonsense some of these figures are going to be when you're looking at extraordinary moves from 1 year to the next. So the bigger picture here, I think, is that the US government is looking at significant additional borrowing. So once they get their debt limit pantomime out of the way, then they're going to issue record numbers of bonds. So that's likely to put upward pressure on the yield, because they're going to suck money out of the system first, So on the one hand, that is also going to be a factor in siphoning money out of the system, because they're going to borrow so much of it. They'll take money out of the system before they then turn around and spend it. So it'll be a temporary tightening. But then there is the question of will people be willing to lend to them at such a low yield? Because we're talking about profoundly large quantities of money. So that should put upward pressure on yields. And that is, I think, also potentially what the high yield spread is beginning to signal. But I think this is also particularly relevant for private equity, because back in 2019, a venture-backed company might have been worth 300 million, and the same company is worth about 900 billion or million today. And they probably have had a big boost in business over the course of the last 12 months. Lots of venture-backed companies did particularly well in the wall of liquidity that was just thrown at the market over the course of the last 15 to 16 months. So that has helped to inflate valuations. But the other point, of course, is that a lot of these companies, they have been able to achieve these valuations because of the lack of a discount rate. So when we think about discount rates and dividend discount models, well, you need something against which to measure everything else. And when bond yields are at record lows and interest rates are extraordinarily low and close to zero, well, then at the traditional sense of using a discount model to come up with a valuation, it just goes out the window. If, on the other hand, bond yields start to trend higher again, and most particularly if we start to see bond yields pushing through to new recovery highs and testing that 200 basis point level, well, that's going to start reintroducing a discount rate to some of those valuations, and then it's going to be a lot more difficult to justify them. So, when we look at the growth versus value ratio, it looked like it was going to pop on the upside at the beginning of the year because bond yields were rising, and then bond yields contracted. So the ratio came all the way back down and tested the lows over the last year. So if bond yields start to push higher once more, well, then it holds out the prospect that value will start to outperform again. And it's been an awfully long time since value had any real chance of outperforming growth. So this is, I think, a particularly relevant consideration. Because when we then think about the absolute performance of some of these indices, the Nasdaq is still trending higher. So it has now broken out of the most recent range, and this remains an incredibly impressive advance overall. And we have two very similar sized, in terms of amplitude, ranges, one above another, and it had a very brief consolidation and a very narrow consolidation overall before breaking out. So we have an overbought condition relative to the trend mean. There's absolutely no questioning that, but we don't have any evidence to suggest that the party is over just yet. Of course, if bond yields continue to rise, well, then it's going to start weighing first on the least profitable companies. So, companies like Apple and Amazon and Google and Facebook, well, Apple, for example, it's a very profitable company and they've got lots and lots of cash. The big question, though, is what about the valuation? It's got an estimated P of 26. And when we then just think about some of the other ways that people value it, well, it's on a price to sale of 7. So at price to sales of 7 would historically be considered rich, but of course, compared to some of the valuations the kind of valuations we're seeing on other companies, it in fact looks reasonable. So then we can just think about companies like Tesla. So Tesla is going around the world and building factories and is going at breakneck speed to try and achieve market share. And the share continues to bounce from the region of the trend mean. So it's continuing to look like a consolidation overall. Netflix is another example of a company. They've continued to do well, but they are spending ridiculously large sums of money on attempting to maintain their relative position. And then, of course, there's pricing and competition in the sector now as well. So we've had significant losses of momentum for some of these companies. It's what I think is particularly relevant right now is that we don't necessarily have evidence that these trends are over. And we've had some pullbacks, certainly, and we've had some loss of momentum. There's no question about that, but they're not breaking down. So that's not the kind of condition where people are really going to be worried. And Amazon is pausing, for example, in the region of the trend mean, and Google has been accelerating higher, and it was in additional positive territory again in here today. So I think what we can really only consider is that there are straws in the wind here, that some of these incredibly impressive trends may start to lose momentum. But then we can also think about the markets that are breaking out of extremely long-term ranges, because the Euro Stoxx index has completed a 20-year base formation, and it is now improving upon that performance. So that includes Switzerland, the UK, Sweden, Norway, Denmark, etc. If we simply look at the Eurozone, well, then it's also breaking out of an equally long range. So this is suggestive that we're back in a demand-dominated environment, but it's also worth considering, well, what are the valuations? So the yield is a little bit higher, the PE is a little bit lower, and then on a price-to-sales ratio, they're not trading at nearly the same valuations. So you're getting a better valuation overall from these other markets. But so these could all be considered value, and the Topix is another example of that. And Japan is objectively cheap. And then we can also just think about what's it looked like over the course of the last 20 years. And if we just simply zoom in on just the last 20 years, well, it looks almost identical to Europe, where you get this extremely volatile range and then it breaks out. Well, then, if we're getting these lengthy ranges resolved on the upside, well, it's suggestive that we are back in a demand-dominated environment. The Taiwanese market has taken off like a rocket, and it's been led higher by Taiwan Semiconductor, and that was almost a 30-year range. So now the question is, at what point will it consolidate, and how much of the gain will it hold during a first step above the base development or consolidation? But at least for now, it is continuing to bounce from the region of the trend mean, and it remains in a bullish environment overall. So certainly we're looking at early days in terms of the bond yields starting to represent a headwind for assets generally. But I think if we are going to see bond yields trending higher, and I think it's also relevant to point out that there is incredible commonality in bond yields everywhere. So 10-year gilts are bouncing from the 50 basis point level, and it looks like a first step above the base. When we think about the Australian 10-year yield, well, Australia is currently dealing with its own version of the pandemic and battling with trying to contain it, but the yield is holding the 1% level, and it was up in a reasonably dynamic manner this week. So I think as we look at the world, we're seeing increasing evidence that there's less appetite to own bonds, and investors are beginning to express disquiet at the quantity of bonds that are going to be issued. So I think these are relevant considerations. So then gold prices were a little bit weaker in here today, but not in as dynamic a manner as they were up 3 days ago. This continues to look like a consolidation in the region of the trend mean, and it needs to push up and through that $1,800 area to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. I think we might just get some consolidation around this area for a while, but that's an awfully big tail on the candle from 2 weeks ago, and it is, I think, very suggestive that we've had a downward stab in the price, and it might have been deployed by investors trying to buy gold at a discount. But the reality is that the $1,700 area is holding, and these higher values overall have been holding for over a year now, and that is conditioning people to accept that gold prices are going to remain firm. Then I think it's also relevant that we've had a very big upper dynamic in oil, and this is 3 days in a row on the upside, and it's an awfully big upward dynamic that's clearly visible on a weekly chart and clearly demonstrating support in the region of the trend mean. So there's obviously potential here that we're going to see the $80 level tested and potentially oil breaking on the upside. Of course, how much further on the upside it goes, well, that's going to be the big question, but it's a fundamental tailwind for commodity prices in every sector, because oil is a major constituent in terms of the cost of production of absolutely everything. So when we look at the LME Metals Index and it continues to bounce from the 4,000 level, then this is also not just about copper, because copper represents a very big weighting in that index, and copper is also bouncing from the trend mean. But if oil prices continue higher, then that is going to act as a tailwind for the wider commodity complex. And of course, we also have the Baltic Dry Index, which continues to surge higher. So this is a clear breakout from a well-defined range, and there's no sign of this advance stopping anytime soon. So we have commodities that are continuing to do well, and we have the threat of bond yield starting to back up, and against all of that, we still have a very benign environment in stock markets. So this is still a liquidity-rich environment, and the market is still reacting to the anticipation that there will be a delay in tapering. And even if there is an announcement of tapering, well, it's still suggested that or I think assumed that we'll be tapering for more than a year. So we're still in an environment where there's still a liquidity-rich environment, and that's I think supportive of asset prices. But I think also that the easy money has probably been made, and that there's the significant potential that value propositions are going to start doing better than growth, and that the least profitable or unprofitable companies are going to have a more difficult time of it as bond yields rise. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.